Amen. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. If you would stand, we'll continue with our song service. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's good to be in the Lord's house today. I love seeing all the visitors. We're glad that you chose to be with us today. Brother Marston, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Man, for me, is singing hymn number 227, "Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One."
Thank you.
Savior shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance,
to linger. Hymn number 288.
Thank you.
to take our offering this morning. Brother Potts, would you pray for the offering, please? And thank you. You may be seated.
Justice, now that makes sense. For every crime, there has to be a consequence.
Could understand if that's the way you chose to deal with fallen man. When my story's told to anyone, first there's all the wrong I've done,
and then there's grace, saving grace. Sinless Son of God, dying in my place, and I'll never comprehend it. I'll forever stand amazed because there's me. My history, then there's grace.
Mercy, that just seems absurd. How could I not get what I deserve?
Forgiveness, all I can say. It's light, it's breath, it's life to me. I'm blown away.
There's no logic to such love. I think of all I'm guilty of.
And then there's grace, saving grace. The sinless Son of God, dying in my place. And I'll never comprehend it. I'll forever stand amazed because there's me, my history, then there's grace. Holy God in heaven, I will love and serve you, Lord, 'cause what my mind can't fathom, there are pages of my past,
the man I was before.
Grace, saving grace, the sinless Son of God, dying in my place. And I'll never comprehend it. I'll forever stand amazed because there's me, my history, then there's grace. And
sing one last time, hymn number 238, Christ Liveth in Me. Number 238.
Once far from God and then in sin, through my heart to sin, I'm crying.
a thought that is. You may be seated.
Well, praise the Lord. This is that time of year where we have lots of graduations. And so I'd like to acknowledge our graduates today. If you would come forward. Okay? Miss Megan, you are one. And Jared the Smart is one. And Miss Abby is one. Always an exciting time of year. I still remember graduating high school, all the bombardment of questions, what are you going to do with your life, and all those things. And so I know that it's a great excitement for you all. And we have something that we started giving years ago, which is a Bible. I think that a Bible is good and necessary for each one of our lives, and especially as you graduate high school. To be able to gain insight from the Lord as to the direction have you go with your life. So this first one is to Abigail Vesey, class of 2022, and she graduated high school this year. The second one is to Jared Foster. Says Jared Foster, class of 2022. If I'd only known that Facebook, you were going to pick up the title Smart, we would have added that there also. But Jared, congratulations. Amen. And then this other one is to Megan Potts. And Megan kind of slipped in on us. We knew that she graduated. I told Chuck we'd just wait and acknowledge it with all the graduates. But Megan graduated in December with a bachelor's in English from Troy University. And so Megan Potts, class of 2021, here is your Bible. The Lord bless you, dear. Now, you be praying for these young people as they make all those choices that you can remember making, and that God would just lead in their lives. Thank you very much for coming forward. Since I'm here, I have two other acknowledgments today. The first one is for Stephen and Reagan Foster. Brother Stephen, would you mind coming? Brother Stephen and Miss Reagan head up our Patch the Pirate program. That happens on Wednesday nights during school time. And I think one reason that we get to enjoy the music quality that we do at Shawnee Mission is because Wednesday nights during school time, our young people are taught to sing. Wednesday night is young people night. We have them do the specials. We just want them to get used to being in front of people and developing their talents for the Lord, that they would just grow up using those talents, and then it would just be a natural thing as they get to be adults to use those talents for the Lord. And Brother Stephen and Miss Reagan head that program up. Miss Reagan's not here today because she's sick, but they, at the end of the year, they always give out gift cards to those who help them, and then they sit down, and I'm like, oh, man, why didn't we get gift cards for them? Well, we got gift cards for you today, brother, and we just want you to know we love you and appreciate you. Thank you. Amen. And then today is anniversary for Stephen and Reagan. It's how many? Two. All right. And Brother Chuck is here without his wife. It is their anniversary also. Brother Chuck, would you mind coming? How many years do you celebrate?
Seven.
Well, I want you to meet Curtis and his lovely wife. They're celebrating. So you youngsters tell people, okay? All right. At this time, we're going to have Brother Jay sing for us, and then we'll have the preaching of the word.
Thank you.
All right, if you take your Bibles and join me in the book of Jude, you'll find that almost at the end of the Bible, just real close there. And so we're going to be starting some preaching from the book of Jude. Our kids are getting ready to go to camp, and Jude is the book that they're going to be quizzed over while they're there. And Brother Chuck is already done a lot of work with them in preparation for that. And I got to thinking about what to preach, was praying about it, and it just kind of stood out to me that Jude is still very valuable for the church today. Matter of fact, probably one of the most valuable books in the Bible for the church today. So we're just going to pick it up, and we're going to run with it for the next several weeks. So if during the week you want to just kind of study ahead, you can do that. And then you can go, oh, preacher, you missed this point and this point and all that kind of good stuff. But you can be ready for when we get there. The book of Jude. If you would stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, I'll begin in verse number one. You can follow along. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together here in your house today. We thank you for the wonderful music that has blessed our hearts and filled our minds and prepared our souls for this time here, the preaching of your word. We're thankful for the accomplishments of young people graduating and a new point of life that they now face. We pray that you would guide them, protect them and lead in their lives that they might seek to walk you, walk with you most of all, whatever avenue that would be, that you would just lead and guide them through that. And we thank you that we can celebrate anniversaries, and what a joy it is to have those here today celebrating the anniversaries. And Lord, we just we come to you wanting to hear from you today. Lord, we have much going on, and it's a busy time of the year and lots of distractions. But God, we want to meet with you today. We want your will to be done in our lives and our hearts. And we realize we live in a day and age of a lot of fast-paced living. We live in a day and age of lots of confusion, lots of misdirection.
We live in a day and age of lots of religion and yet not truly seeking you. And so, God, help us to cut through all that today. Help us to get to the heart of the matter. And, Lord, help us to get a hold of your word. Might it get a hold of us. Might the Holy Spirit deal in our lives and our hearts this time, that you might be honored and glorified. We love you, and we thank you for this time together today. And we ask these things in your wonderful, most precious name. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to entitle this series, Contending for the Faith. Contending for the Faith. Yesterday, I was at an ordination. I get invited. It seems like the older I get, the more I get invited to more ordinations. I guess they like to have an old guy, you know, who's been at the same place for a number of years. And so they invite me to come. And it's sad to be the old guy feeling so young until I try to get up. And then my body tells me, you're not as young as you think you are. But anyhow, and so I was at an ordination yesterday, and we're visiting with the young man that we are getting ready to ordain. And we begin by going through the doctrines of the faith. And we begin by starting off with what you believe about the Bible. And I believe this Bible, this King James Version Bible, to be the preserved, inerrant Word of God. I believe it to the point that I've lived by it my whole life. And I'm German, and I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to stay right here on the book. Amen. They may come out saying they've got a better version. That ain't going to happen. I've got the best version around, and I'm just going to live by it and die by it. And then we ask questions about, what do you believe about God? You know, God is a Godhead of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And how do those three function together, and what are their offices, because they are each individualistic in the office that they hold. And there's many other things, the doctrines of the faith, as we call it, that we proceed through. And so I'm entitled this Contending for the Faith, and I realize that in the day and age in which we live, that there are churches that used to stand for something that don't stand there anymore. There's been a slide. There's been a movement afoot. And, you know, we can go back, even in my life, we go back to the purpose-driven church. Warren came out with the purpose-driven church, sold millions of copies of this book that he wrote, how he built this mega church overnight, and it was copied and duplicated across America. And they would go out into areas and they would ask people, what do you want in church? What would you like to see in church? And they, you know, what would you like to hear in church? And how would you like it presented? But the truth of the matter, God's already given us all that right here. Amen. But his philosophy was that we're going to give people what they want. And that's what they've got. Okay. But just because you get what you want doesn't mean you got what you need. Amen. I mean, every time that I get sick and I have to take some gross, mean medicine, it's not what I want. I have an issue with my back going out just like every couple of years. It's a very traumatic event that happens when my back goes out. I mean, I'll be standing with my toes pointed this way and my shoulders will be pointed this way. Very painful, very traumatic. Almost always ends up in back spasms and all that kind of stuff. And only those who have ever experienced that can truly understand what it's like. The last time that my back got out, I went to my chiropractor and I told him, I said, okay, I can't believe I'm going to pay you the money I'm going to pay you to hurt me the way you're going to hurt me. But this has got to be fixed. I cannot function like this any longer. And so it is even with the Word of God. We live in a day and age where religion is rampant. I mean, we don't have to drive up and down very many blocks here, and there's a church here. Even since we moved in, there was a church on the corner. Then we moved in, and now there's one right across the street here. And if you go a mile that way, there's a church. And you go 2 miles that way, there's a church. There's churches everywhere. Religion is everywhere. But does that make it right? Is that what we ought to follow? And so here is this preface, if you would, to the book of Revelation, which is always an exciting book. As a matter of fact, I was visiting with a preacher yesterday, and he told me, I try to preach through Revelation every 3 years. And I'm like, man, the last time I preached through Revelation, it took me almost 3 years to preach through it. So I just like beginning done and starting over again. It's a very great book, a very important book, and something I think we all need to study and apply in our lives. But Jude is kind of the preface. It's the vestibule to the book of Revelation. So it's very important that we understand what the book of Jude is about and how it should be related to our lives. So let me give you just a few things, and then we'll dive into the preaching, if you would. Some interesting background on the book of Jude, okay? So there's three eternal things mentioned in the book of Jude. Three eternal things. Verse number 6 talks of eternal chains. Verse number 7 talks of eternal fire. And verse number 21 talks of eternal life. The word ungodly is used 6 times in the book of Jude, which is kind of interesting because 6 is the number of man. Verse 4 talks about ungodly men. Verse 15 talks about all that are ungodly among them. Verse 15 talks about ungodly deeds. Verse 15 says, have ungodly committed. Verse 15 talks about ungodly sinners. And verse 18 talks about ungodly lusts. The word keep is used twice, that word meaning to preserve. Verse 21 talks about keep yourselves in the love of God. Verse number 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. The book of Jude, as an overview, and I like the book of Jude in the fact that it's one chapter, right? I like short versions, you know, and Jude is that. But Jude, the overview of the entire book of Jude is this, that apostasy is coming. A falling away is coming. Christian, you need to stand and stand firm. Don't fall away from the truth. Don't fall away from sound doctrine. Continue to stand and stand and stand and stand. Remain faithful until Jesus comes or you go to be in his presence. That's what Jude is about. You say, okay, I'm going to take the next couple of weeks off and not come back. Oh, you're going to miss a well of a show. Because the book of Jude is full of all kinds of good insight to help us to stand in the evil day in which we live. Now, I don't think I would get an argument that today is an evil day. Right? Yeah, it's an evil day. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the TV set and you have to turn it off half the time. Or pick up a newspaper and read about the things that are going on. We're living, undoubtedly, in the last days. And so Jude deals with the last day apostasy. That word apostate or apostasy, Webster defines as a defection, to depart. In the religious sense, we're talking about an abandonment of what one has professed, or a total desertion from the departure of one's faith or religion. The apostate is one who has left that which he has been taught, sound doctrine, and exchanged it for his own ideas or lesser ideas concerning God and his word. So we just acknowledged 3 graduates. It's been so exciting watching them grow up. But the truth of the matter is they have not had a lot of choices for themselves. The world's going to open up now. You know, you're going to make a choice. What am I going to do with life? Does God want me in full-time service living for him? Does he want me to drive a trash truck? Does he want me to do hair? What is it that God wants me to do? And once you figure that out, and on the way to figuring that out, you ought to desire, graduate, to put God first in your life and to be the very best at whatever it is he wants you to do. So if he wants you to drive a trash truck, then be the best trash truck driver there is. Be a Christian. When you spill my trash, get out and pick it up and throw it in the dump. Be a good Christian trash truck driver. Amen. Be a good Christian young person as you're growing. Now, these are choices that you're going to make. Mom and dad have made them. You've lived under their rules. You've lived under their guidance. And now you're going to go out and you're going to find, you've already found it a little bit, but now you're going to go out on your own and you're really going to get to be making some decisions that, if made the wrong way, will wreck your life, will lead you to heartache. And even abandonment from that you have been taught is soul and truth and right from the Word of God. By the way, how do we know about sound doctrine? How do we know what truth is? It's all found right here. This is the truth, the Word of God. And so I want to know, what does God tell me about the Bible? Well, it's settled forever in heaven. Amen. As it is settled forever in heaven, it ought to be settled in my heart today. It ought to be settled. It should be a done deal. And so it is about the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was His name. By the way, Jesus is not one of many ways to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. You get out in the world today and they would confuse you with that. And they would say, oh, there's many ways. You can get there so many different ways. You don't have to believe those things that you've been taught. Listen, they're just trying to draw you into apostasy. Parents, that means as we're training our children at home, that it has to be more than just taking them to Sunday school and preaching service. You can't just set them under the sound of truth and expect for that to be the truth of their life. You have to instill that in them. You have to, if you would, indoctrinate them in the truth of the Word of God. Listen, if you don't indoctrinate them in the truth of the Word of God, this world will indoctrinate them. They will indoctrinate them into the lies of this world. They'll teach them that these lies are acceptable and good because a whole bunch of people think they're great. You ought to think they're great. You ought to go along with it. Listen, you've got to have the truth to pull back to. What is the truth? The Bible. You've got to go back to the truth. You've got to examine everything that comes your way in light of the truth of the Word of God. Good Bible definition for apostasy is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Let me finish and then I want to pose a question. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That word perdition there is defined as destruction, not extinction, but rather abiding in a state of ruin. When you ask Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior, and I pray that you all have, I pray that you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It must be a personal relationship. Brother Charles cannot have it for you. Your wife cannot have it for you. Your mom and dad cannot have it for you. It must be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you get that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to realize this is a personal relationship that I need to develop, that I need to work on. So, let's see, I'm trying to think. 42 years ago? Almost in June, it will be. I always get in trouble because I push things forward a little bit. But it's 42, so I'm pretty happy I'm that close. 42 years ago, I married who I thought was already my best friend. I married the one I thought I already knew. Time out. Guys, how many of you knew them as much as you thought you knew them? Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm glad I'm not the only one. So I married her thinking I knew all about her. I spent the last 42 years trying to figure her out. And I'll be honest with you, ain't done it yet. Okay? It's just truth. It's truth. Because every time I think I got it nailed down, they move. Like the boundaries go someplace else. Huh. I love you, baby. Sometimes it's very painful. And it might be when I get home today or go to lunch. I don't know. No, she's a great girl. She understands. When I get saved, I start a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's fresh. It's like a blank slate. And I need to begin to fill my life with Him. Who is He? How am I going to know who Christ is? How am I going to understand the fact that He loved me? How am I going to understand that He's the only way to heaven? How am I going to understand the fact that He's the virgin-born Son of God? How am I going to understand these things? By getting in that book right there. I can go to church, I can hear the preacher, I can sit in Sunday school, I can turn my radio on, and even listen to my favorite speaker every day. But unless I personally strive to develop a relationship with Him, I'm going to miss it. The sad part with the book of Jude is, here are people that should have been developing a great relationship with God, should have been drawing close to Him, but they came to a point that they stopped. They came to a point that they began to push away. They came to a point where they begin to listen to the world and the world's ideas and the world's allurement. And they said, okay, I know some about Jesus. I know that I'm saved, but boy, things over here look so exciting. And surely if God is a God of love, that there's not only one way to heaven. And surely if God is a God of love, He's not really going to send people to a lake of fire for all of eternity. These are lies of the world. And when we get away from God, we go following after the world, we become apostate. We walk away from the truth and we begin to buy the lie and follow the lie. Now here's the sad part. Religion today is full of lies. There are churches today that are only a church in name only. They don't function by this book. They don't believe the Word of God. They don't practice the Word of God. They're open to the inputs of society around them. They're embracing those things of the world and they're saying, oh, let's open our arms and let's add that to our church because it'll attract more people. Kind of like the Rick Warren thing. We'll attract more people. And God's not such a rigid God. I mean, if God is truly a God of love, the problem is we don't understand what real love is. Because we watch Hollywood's definition of love. You know? And you look at Hollywood, and most of those couples don't stay married any length of time. They don't know what love is. 42 years. And I'm just trying now to begin to kind of understand it even more. Every day is a learning experience. So we can fall into apostasy. We can fall away from God. So I want to give you just a few things about apostates and how you can identify an apostate. The first point is this. Apostates deny the doctrine of Christ. They deny it. They don't want to accept it. 2 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10 says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So my interaction as a Baptist, okay? My interaction as a Baptist is I interact with God through His Word. I love Him. I want Him to be a part of my life. I want to have a relationship with Him. I want to know Him. I want to know what He expects of me. And because He loved me so much, He died for me, He's given me a home in heaven. I want to be a joyful student of Him. I want to know Him. And I want to know of His doctrine. And I want to know of the Word of God. So that when I take 2 John, and I have someone come from a religion, and they go, yeah, your religion is so old and fuddy-duddy. You got to understand, religion's changed. What? Religion's changed. Churches today have changed the way that they thought. So I have a friend that's a Mormon who was saved out of Mormonism. And they said through the course of time, by the way, one of the big misleading things about Mormonism is they use the King James Bible. But they always supersede it with the Book of Mormon. We don't have anything that supersedes our Bible, amen? It is the final authority. It is it. It's what we build our church off of, what we ought to build our lives off of, not what Joseph Smith or any of those other people have had to say. But this lady, who is a friend of ours, got saved out of Mormonism, and she has told us several different times that there was maybe legal action coming against the Mormons, and all of a sudden they decided that a certain race of people could be saved. That's documented. All of a sudden there was a revelation. Oh, those people can be saved after all. And they've changed different doctrines through the years. Hey, I'm not changing any doctrines in this book. I'm not going to change any of them. Okay? That's how you know when you're in a true church. Are we in a church that's going, that's the way society's going. Well, this is what we believe. Oh, yeah, okay, we're going to add this to it too. Hey, we're just going to stand the line. We're going to stand on the Word of God and believe the truth of the Word of God so that we don't become apostate in our living and fall away from God. These deny the absolute doctrines of faith. They deny the virgin birth. I'm so thankful for Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. And people go, that's inconceivable. That's because you're a human being. But with God, all things are possible. How big is your God? Well, He's big enough He fits right here in my pocket. Well, you got the wrong God. My God's so big this world can't control Him or contain Him. He's so much bigger than that. His ways are not our ways. I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be such an eye-opening event. I mean, it's going to be fabulous. That's why I've visited with people who've studied the book of Revelation in depth, and they always go, you know, it is. It's hard and it's difficult and there's things in there I don't understand, but I just trust God that those things are the way God says it's going to be, and I just trust in those things. And I know this is what I can kind of expect when I go to heaven. And, you know, we just have to trust God. Amen. These apostates would deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They would say there are many ways to go to heaven. Yet John 14:6 says, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. They would say there's many gods. So we're visiting yesterday with a young man. We're ordaining. He's getting ready to go to Cambodia. And their big belief system over there. He told us, he said, you know, their belief system is that we will embrace your God. And we'll put Him with our gods. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about only one true God. Amen. Not that He's to be one of many. You think of Paul on Mars Hill as he stands there and he goes, hey, you know, I'm paraphrasing. Basically, he looked around and said, well, I see you're a really superstitious lot. I see all these gods here. Let me tell you about the one true God. There is one God. One true God. And He's the one we need to live for. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6 says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. So apostates deny the doctrine of Christ. The second thing we see is apostates have a form of religion, but deny the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3, 5 and 6, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. So they have an outward form of godliness, but they're creeps. They're creeps. They creep into life, they creep into individuals' lives, and they lead them astray. Why? Because he refers to these as led silly women laden with sins. These are individuals, whether men or women, we can easily put men in that same group, who refuse to really fall in love with God and refuse to really know God. And so they live kind of a double life. They go to church on maybe once in a while on Sunday. They might sing some songs. They might tip God a little bit with some money. But the truth of the matter is that when they're away from God, they're laden with sins. The cares of this world, the sins that are so easily found around us. And then they creep in, and those that are like that are easily led away. They lack the true substance of Christianity, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, to come into our hearts and to forgive us of our sins, the Holy Spirit then moves inside of us. It's not a second filling. It's not a third filling. Ooh, you get all the filling at once. But here's the deal. Now you need to get Him out in you. I've watched lots of Christians get saved. They have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And what they do is when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to them, begins to point out areas of sin in their life, begins to point out things that need to change, they push Him down. They push Him down. They don't want to hear from Him. They don't want His influence. They're quite happy living a double life. They're quite happy living, pleasing themselves, not necessarily pleasing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is placed inside us to help us to be victorious in our Christian living. If you refuse Him, you're going to fail. If you refuse the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you refuse the help of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the comforting of the Holy Spirit, if you refuse those things, you are going to fail in your Christianity. You're going to easily be identified as an apostate because you will fall away from God. Third thing we see is that apostates profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, a reprobate. Paul urged carnal Corinthians to examine themselves to be sure that they were saved. He warned them of the sin of being a reprobate. There in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Know that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Listen, we need to examine our life. If we find, as a Christian, it's easy for me to live in sin. If I find, as a Christian, I read through the Word of God, and it identifies sin that I ought to stay out of, and yet I embrace it, and I have it in my life, then I need to ask myself this question. Am I really saved? And if I am I a reprobate? Have I pushed away the truth of the Word of God and chosen my own path? Have I pushed away the truth of God and embraced my own thinking or the thinking of this world? It happens all over the place. Christians every day choose their own thinking, thinking that they're smarter than God, thinking that they know the truth better than God does. Listen, God gave it to us. What we need to do is read it, study it, and apply it in our lives. Not say, no, God, you made a big mistake. Or not stand up and say, that's not what God means. God means this instead. We need to be students of the Word and study the Word and apply it in our lives and our living. Final point today. Apostates are scoffers. They're scoffers. 2 Peter 3:3-5. knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. This is a picture of the Laodicean church, okay, which is in the book of Revelation. Remember that church, remember that the church is not a building, but the people. Okay? Tornado can come, wipe out this building this afternoon, and church will try to meet tonight. Amen? The church is not the building, it's the people. It's an assembly of believers in Jesus Christ. Here in Laodicea, the Christ was on the outside of the church wanting in. The church refused Him. Oh, they had the name, they had the songs, they had the hymn books, they had Bibles, they had all these kind of things, but they didn't allow Christ in the center of them. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is where Christ is talking to the church at Laodicea. And He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I know a lot of times that gets used in soul winning, but the truth is it's written to a church that has pushed Christ out of the church. Listen, if you're in that church today, you need to leave. If you're here, you're in the right one. Okay? Because we believe this word. We're standing on this word. But if you're in a church that believes lipsticks, polylops, and all that other kind of stuff, and unicorns, and all kinds of stuff, and they don't believe the truth of the Word of God, that whatever way the wind's blowing and going to appease everybody, and we just want masses, and it's going to make a name for us, heaven help you. Because that's not a church. That's just a gathering. Jesus cannot even be found in a group where there's no believers. Just think of this. If just one of these people in the Laodicean church, if only one of them had been saved, Jesus would have been there in the midst. That was a sobering thought to me. I found that in a book studying yesterday. If only one person would have had Jesus Christ in their life, in the midst of the Laodicean church, He would have already been inside. But because no one knew Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit lived inside of no one, then He stands on the outside and He knocks, let me in. Let me in. It was a group of religious yet lost people who called themselves a church. They were lacking the most important thing in their church, which was Jesus. Without Jesus, all assembling groups of people are just an assembly. They may call it a church, but it is not. In 1 John 5:12, we read, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Romans 8:9 says, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Colossians 1:27 says, To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. These verses verify that this assembly was not saved. Because if they'd only had someone who had Christ as their Savior, He would have been in the midst. Church, please hear us. We're living in the last days. Choice is ours. We remain faithful and true to God. And listen, you know, the great thing about the last days is, oh yeah, we're going to see Jesus soon. But are you really ready to see Jesus soon? Are you really ready? Are you going to stand in His presence and He's going to say, what was going on with you? I gave you the truth. I gave you my book. I wanted you to fall in love with me. I wanted you to know me. I wanted to have a personal relationship with you. But you were too busy. You were too distracted. The cares of the world and the things of the world drew you away. And you desired to walk with the cares of the world and the people of the world. and the wealth of the world and all the things that the world had, you desired that over me. Oh, the book of Jude is relevant for today. It's relevant for our church. It's relevant for our lives. Lord Jesus, we love you today, and we thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, it's our desire that your will would be done in our lives and in our hearts. I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in our hearts today. Could be that there are some that have been wandering away, getting just a little bit further from God. Today is the day that they ought to come back. Lord, they'll pray the Holy Spirit would just lead them to do that. Get back close again to God. To put God first. To put Jesus first in their life. To live for him. To realize that we are in the last days and that people need Jesus now more than ever. If there's ever been a time that we ought to be a bigger witness, God, I know that this is the time. Help us to be that witness. Help us, Lord, to identify and to understand and to stay close to you, that we would not fall into apostasy. I love you, Lord, and I pray this invitation would bring honor and glory to you. We ask it in your blessed name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? I'm going to sing, I'll Live for Him, hymn 317. If God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. Encourage you to come, whatever your need. Thank you very much for coming. We've got visitors. Get around and shake hands with one another. And so thankful that we can be together. Amen. I hated it when we couldn't be together. That was such a hard time. And so it's a great blessing to be able to spend time together today. Lord bless you for being here. Brother Foster has our announcements.
All right, a few things to be mindful of in our bulletin. Next week we have Brown Bag, and we'll have early afternoon service at 1:30. Camp is coming up June 5th through the 10th, and we need the registration papers in, as well as the $100 for each camper is due on Wednesday, June the 1st. We will have outreach scheduled for Saturday, June the 4th at 9 a.m. And then we have started our offering offertories once again. Thankful for that. We have a sign-up sheet for anyone, any man that would be able and willing to help with that. There's sign-up sheet on the back table. We have an important work day coming up on June the 18th. We have much to do to get this building back in order. So June 18th, we'll plan to be here by 8:30, get that work accomplished. And then coming up in June as well. On the 19th, we have the Redeemed Trio from Heartland Baptist Bible College that will be that day. I'll also remind you to be in prayer for these in the prayer area. Several to mention there. Slip them up before the Lord as you pray this week. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer this morning. Brother Potts, would you dismiss us, please? Amen.